Today's show was brought to you by SAP. Who am I and how am I feeling? I'm Clive Owen and I'm feeling great, thanks. How about you? You feeling happy? A little angry? People have so many feelings, millions of them. But what if businesses could really understand all of those feelings and then act on them to make their customers feel better? It's a thing. It's SAP Experience Management and it's here. Because the future of business has feelings. And I've got a feeling we're all going to like it. Go to sap.com/xm to learn more.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 81 of Tatooine Sons. Nearly 4 years later, it's easy to forget that at one point, much of the Star Wars sequel speculation centered around a Force-sensitive Finn. Today, that theory is a thing of the past. But could it reemerge in the lead-up to the rise of Skywalker? We'll look at the evidence on this episode. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and get ready to head to the old ballpark.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you may not even know who Finn is.
Yeah, but if you're listening to this podcast, you know who Finn is, because we've talked about it 1,000 times. So.
Anyway. And, of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's Bowtie Jedi guy.
I think it's probably the first time we've ever recorded on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah?
Since we started this. I don't know of another time we would have done that.
No.
I left work early today so we could get this thing recorded because we're heading to the old ballpark, like you said in the intro there, BB Nate. We're going to the Rockies-Dodgers game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys...
Of course we're rooting for the Dodgers.
What? Ever.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
You know, Ryan Johnson grew up here in Colorado, right?
Really?
But there was no baseball team in Colorado.
Wait, how?
They've only been around since 92 or 93.
Oh.
So is Ryan Johnson still a fan of the Rockies?
No. So he's never been a fan of the Rockies. Guess who he's a fan of?
Dodgers.
I am going to tweet the heck out of Ryan Johnson tonight.
But you got it. You got to make it nice so he can...
Oh, it'll be nice. Service. Yeah. Well, we're hoping for that.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. So we're going to finish up this recording and then head on up to Denver to go to the baseball game. So...
Yeah, this will be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And then we got some other good news this weekend. We got media passes to the Colorado Springs Comic Con.
Yeah.
So there's a handful of Star Wars related individuals that are going to be there. BB Nate, who's going to be there?
Brian Herring. I know he's that. Woo-hoo! He's the big one for us.
Yeah. BB 8 and Turbis the Porg. Puppeteer.
Unknowingly, though.
He doesn't know it's Turbis the Porg unless he's paid attention to the 47,000 times I've tweeted it. But anyway.
He probably knows who we are.
Oh, I think he knows who we are because I Twitter stalk people all the time.
We'll probably see this coming down the hallway. He's like, that's them. Just hide their face.
What's up, JG? We're behind, so I hope you get to figure out what's going on the show today. All right. So we're going to Converse Comic Con at the end of August. So we're going to have, see him. And then let's see, I think it's Mark Dodson is the name. He played Salacious B. Crumb in, Return of the Jedi. He was the, voice of Salacious B. Crumb in that. So he's going to be there. And Brent Spiner, and I never know how to pronounce that name.
Close enough.
But he played Lieutenant Commander Data, is what they called him, on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh.
But he also played in Star Wars Rebels, which is why we're excited.
And then there's another Star Wars guy. One more.
Okay, we'll find out in a second. Gal Travis, Senator Travis, from the first season of Star Wars Rebels. So pretty psyched about
that's pretty fun.
That. Hoping we can connect with him. Who else?
I don't remember what he really does, but he worked on A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. I think he was the
artist. So we don't know his name. We don't know what he does. Okay. All right.
Well, I don't remember. I remember that he did something with Star Wars.
Okay. There we go.
So helpful.
Anyway, so now, BB Nate, you haven't gotten started on Thrawn Treason yet, right?
No, because I'm waiting for you guys to tell me if it's worth reading.
Going out and buying the book, or just waiting and picking it up at the library? Is that what you're asking?
Well, it'll be like maybe 3 weeks till I even am able to think about picking up Thrawn Treason, because I'm in the 15th.
You're 15th in line on the hold list,
and then it's not even available yet. They still have to.
So they got
to
get the book, and then they got to make it available.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
15 people.
Yeah, so it may be a while before you get to read it. So you're waiting to find out whether or not it's worth actually going out and buying?
Yeah.
Sam, you're what, 3-4 chapters in?
About 3 chapters.
3 chapters in so far?
It's good. I really like it. It's if you read Thrawn Alliances, that could get kind of tough to follow at times because of it jumping between two different time periods. This one's a lot easier to follow. And I like it. It's fun so far. So I'm looking forward to it. But you've gotten a lot further in it.
I'm at like chapter 9.
Yeah.
And a couple nights ago, I was in bed getting, reading before I went to sleep. And everybody was still running around the house, so nobody else was asleep for sure.
Mm.
And I just yelled, "Holy crap!" And you guys came running upstairs because I think that something that, and if you haven't listened to our Thrawn episode a few episodes ago, go back and listen to it because I have a feeling that Samuel L. Hutt may be on to something.
Well, one little side note though, when Dad yelled "crap" to the top of his lungs, usually what that means in previous.
Stop! Come on.
Is he'll be cutting his hair or shaving, and he'll just buzz it. Like he'll get serious.
I trim my own beard. Mm-hmm. I cut my own hair. It saves us a lot of money, and I'm a control freak.
And sometimes he'll mess up, and usually the thing that follows that is him yelling crap really loudly. So Mom and I both look at each other, and we're like, he just messed up his hair.
I didn't though. And last night I trimmed my beard and cut my hair, and I didn't mess it up. So. Anyway, Thrawn Treason is a lot of fun so far.
You said you thought I was pretty close.
I think you're getting. We may be into something. I haven't finished it yet. I've seen people tweet things like, "Man, after finishing Thrawn Treason, I really want to go back and watch Star Wars Rebels again." That leads me to believe that the theory that Sam brought up on the episode we did, I think it was 2-3 episodes
ago.
That one I think is pretty solid.
I don't usually make good predictions, but I think I hit it.
Might have been
okay. And talking about Sammy's prediction, I saw somebody on Facebook talking about Thrawn Treason. Didn't think it was much of a spoiler. I think he was just asking a question after he read it. And he said, are we supposed to assume that Ezra and Thrawn are still alive?
Ooh, ready to finish that book. I just need more time in my life.
And then somebody in the comments was like, Thrawn's always going
to
be alive.
I need about 26 hours in every day, so I have 2 hours to read Thrawn Treason.
I just need more attention span.
You can do it while you're driving up to Denver.
And just on that note, while we're talking about Star Wars books and Thrawn Treason and everything, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, and we highly recommend. you head on over to audibletrial.com/TatooineSons, get your free trial, and download Throne Treason. Because I think audio-wise, that would be a lot of fun.
I like audiobooks better than regular books.
Yeah. Last thing, reviews. We didn't get any, and we need them.
What?
So if you're listening to this and you like us, our you know, my love language, you guys have ever heard of that? Like
it's
the
donuts.
Idea of love languages. I've said...
This is madness.
Yeah, my love language is donuts. But no, like there's these five love languages, like gifts, service, physical affection, words of affirmation.
Yours is physical touch.
Yes, definitely. Mine is definitely, I think Sam's probably this way too, it's definitely words of affirmation.
Absolutely.
And so I'm feeling like you don't love us anymore because you haven't been giving us reviews. And so if you love us, my ego is at stake here. So go ahead.
Our ego.
Yeah, our ego. And when you see BB Nate, give him a big hug.
No. Rand is an introvert.
He's an introvert.
He likes hugging
only
people.
My family.
Only the people closest to him, yeah. So anyway, we need them. All right, I guess we should go ahead and move on to last week's.
Hey,
is that it?
Yeah.
Last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
No! All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week had everything to do with what Kevin Smith said would be mind-melting at the end of The Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Where does the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker take place? If we read your reply on the air, you receive a Make Kerbis Tannen.
California pizza chicken. Yep. Colorado pizza chicken.
Colorado pizza chicken.
Yeah, we did that. That was the first day we were at
celebration
at Chicago. Yeah.
Anyway, if we read your reply on the air or on the show, you'll receive a Make Turbis Cannon sticker. So the question was, where does the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker take place? We had four options: Yavin 4, Mustafar, Tatooine, or other comment below.
Wow,
Yavin. I'm a little surprised that Mustafar was last place. With 14. Well, but I think it was the logic that we used on the show. Why you can't end it on Mustafar with that. Okay. Next to last, Yavin 4.
Okay.
And then we had other comment below. We had lots of comments, like 59 comments or replies on there. Thank you guys for participating in that. We'll read a few of those in just a second. Running away with it.
Which isn't entirely surprising.
Impressive. Most impressive.
54% chose Tatooine.
Smart.
If you're listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, and you don't choose Tatooine,
then you're not a true Star Wars fan.
Just kidding.
We have a lot of Star Wars fan things. My whole intro is about Star Wars fans, and then we do that.
Yeah, and we're just joking.
I think we're insecure.
Yeah. Anyway, well, since we didn't get any reviews,
right?
So anyway, who's got the first one? Darth Power.
Me.
P.S.
But the power is P-A-U-E-R.
Like Jack Bauer?
But with the P.
Darth Power.
Yeah. Naboo, possibly with the time jump epilogue, redeemed Ben with his child/children visiting a memorial of his parents and grandparents with force ghosts of Luke, Leia, and Anakin looking on.
I like it.
It's okay.
If it happened, I think it would be great.
Again,
not
that's enough. Not a set that's going to melt your mind. That's the scene.
I know that Leia can use the Force, but...
She could become a Force ghost in this, but I just don't think that set would have caused Kevin Smith's mind to melt on that. What's up, Rick? Thanks for joining us, buddy. All right, who's got the next one?
That's me. It's Celebrating Star Wars, Awaiting Anaheim. And they said, being greedy here and saying, you know, being greedy here and saying it'll be split Force Skype style. Ray on
say that five times fast.
Yeah.
Split Force Skype style.
Yeah. Five times fast. You can't say it once.
Pretty difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Ray on the steps of the Jedi Temple on Coruscant with the other heroes. Looks across at redeemed Ben on Tatooine with Force ghosts behind him.
I think that's what it means.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Then starts up the steps with the other heroes to embrace their future.
Interesting. Like it. Think it would be fun.
Scene.
But it's the scene,
and it's
not
two
the
sets.
Location. And that's, it's two sets.
Doesn't work. Still a cool idea, though.
I like this last one from Kylo 10. you know, like instead of Kylo Ren.
I get the joke.
Fulcrum Andor is his.
That's pretty cool.
Twitter handle.
Fulcrum Andor.
Yeah.
Fulcrum Andor.
Like Cassian Andor Fulcrum, because he is.
But it's all one word.
Well, yeah, Fulcrum Andor, but Fulcrum he was Andor. Fulcrum. Right.
So got Mando in there too.
No, that's not. It has nothing to do with it. Yeah. Anyway, Kylo Ren hashtag make Solo 2 happen definitely on Tatooine, preferably. In Kanye's new housing. All right. Good job, guys. We'll send you out some stickers here in a minute. You guys, let's move on here.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
For more than four decades, fans have joked about a guy holding a boom mic on the set of Star Wars. Well, someone has found him. Disney announced what is and what isn't coming to Disney Plus on November 12th, and the power of social media has allowed us to see the first moments between two of our most beloved Star Wars actors. It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Sorry, I was going off to our live Patreon feed.
Most of our Patreon people are probably there's not a lot fans of the Rockies.
No, it doesn't matter. All right. So, anyway, Pink Shorts guy.
Yeah.
Pink Shorts boom mic guy.
Everyone cosplays as.
Yeah, well, not as many as I've seen, like one person.
I've seen a few.
Anyway, he finally speaks out for over 40 years later. This is from comicbook.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. I'm going to read it directly from because what they said made sense. All right. Over the past few decades, fans have fallen in love with even the smallest details of the Star Wars franchise, including one fantastically dressed crew member.
Mm-hmm.
A behind-the-scenes photo from Star Wars A New Hope has had popularity online for years, which points out that one of the film's boom mic operators was shirtless and wearing pink short shorts while filming a scene. The identity of this man, who does not appear in the film's credits, has remained a mystery for years until now. ABC News recently tracked down, I think it was Clayton Sandell, too. We follow him on Twitter. He follows us on Twitter. We interact a little bit. Yeah.
Cool.
Clayton Sandell, I think, is the one that tracked him down. He tracked down the elusive pink shorts boom guy. He's a 90-year-old man named Ken Nightingale.
Please tell me he was this guy found him shirtless with a.
Oh, I hope so.
Short shorts.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Nightingale was one of nearly 100 British crew members who worked on A New Hope, and the conditions of the North Africa shoot were reportedly a lot to bear. It was very, very hot. Nightingale, I think it's Nightingale or Nightingale. I'm not sure. Anyway, it looks like Gall. But anyway, Nightingale revealed, "I was just doing my job." While Nightingale's wardrobe choice was certainly memorable, he reportedly was initially skeptical about what kind of impact the film would have. Most of them working on the movie thought, this is a quote from him, most of them working on the movie thought it was the biggest load of crap that they'd ever worked on, Nightingale's son Terrace shared. They weren't overly impressed. Samuel Hutt is a pink shorts guy now going to be the cosplay hero of Celebration Anaheim.
Yes.
Are you going to cosplay as pink shorts guy?
I can't pull off the
pink. Oh, come on, man.
You got to be a special guy to be able to
get have like definite confident guys. Level.
I do not like have that.
At an 11 to be pink shorts guy.
I do not have that.
Oh yeah, no, thank you, no. What about you, BB Nate? You're gonna cosplay as pink shorts boom?
But I don't think it'll be that many people doing it.
No, I just don't. What do you think though about what he said about what the crew thought about the movie?
I've heard that a lot. A lot of people have said that they just never thought this film would take off or work, but. Obviously.
Well, Sir Alec Guinness himself said it was a bunch of garbage. So. And
did Peter Cushing say that?
Oh, I don't remember if he said it.
Probably did.
Yeah. We were watching Empire of Dreams, the documentary, the other night.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the crew absolutely thought this was insanity.
Yeah.
That was going on.
The producers, the film studios, all of it.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Which Star Wars movies and series will be on Disney Plus at launch? Have you guys seen this yet?
Yeah, you read it out to us at all of our...
Not all of it.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hold on.
Wait, there's going to be a Palpatine series?
No. This is from CBR.com because it's got a good list here. They announced like when it's premiering, by the way. The whole thing is like going live.
Oh.
November 12th.
Okay.
So we knew that it was early November, but that's where it is. Upon launch, Disney Plus will offer Star Wars episodes 1-7. So The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and The Force Awakens.
Why no Last Jedi?
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story will be on there as well. Including the entirety of the animated Star Wars Rebels series, which is great, even though we own it already. First 6 seasons of Star Wars The Clone Wars, which... That's pretty cool.
Really, yeah, we don't own that.
Back. And in addition, Disney Plus will launch its own original series, Star Wars The Mandalorian, when the thing goes live. So
I'm excited for that.
That's good. They have said that Solo, A Star Wars Story, and The Last Jedi will be released later on.
Okay.
Within the first year.
And what about Season 7?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. Several Star Wars properties are unavailable at Disney Plus's launch and will remain on Netflix until the contract expires over the next year. Okay, that's what we were just talking about. Once they do expire, however, fans can expect Star Wars The Last Jedi and Solo Star Wars Story. The eagerly awaited 12-episode 7th season of Star Wars The Clone Wars, according to CBR.com, will arrive on Disney Plus sometime in 2020.
Okay.
BB Nate, a couple of surprises in this article. What do you think?
Clickbait. Not clickbait. No.
Not at all.
No. No, it's fine. I think it would be nice to have a little bit of not two series we need to watch at the same time with Mandalorian and then Clone Wars coming out, and it would just get crowded. I think with Mandalorian, people have time to watch the first season, and then they release the Clone Wars, and then they release Mandalorian Season 2, and then Clone Wars Season 8.
Interesting. What do you think, Samuel the Hutt?
I want to be able to binge as much Star Wars as possible. And I'd always assumed, though, that
I kind of always thought that the Clone Wars was coming right away, too.
I was under the impression that it was coming right with the release.
But I get what BB Nate's saying. That's true. Yeah, imagine they released, like 10 episodes of The Mandalorian? And they're doing that over a 10-week period of time. What if they were also releasing the Clone Wars? It would get really intense for people. Not to mention, everybody would watch all that stuff.
As well.
Season 2 of Resistance is coming out. And then everything gets done, and everybody cancels their Disney Plus subscription until the next time that the Star Wars thing's coming out. They go 10 weeks. That leads us into 2020, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well into January at this point. And then you can also be catching up and rewatching the Clone Wars throughout this, the previous 6 seasons. And then sometime in 2020, probably after Star Wars Resistance, they don't want to compete with it. That's a good point too, BB Nate. Star Wars Resistance finishes up the second season. Then they release Season 7 of the Clone Wars. It's a great idea. You're pretty smart sometimes, BB Nate. Must take after your dad.
Not all the time.
All right. Most of the time. All right. And then, interestingly enough, so someone on Twitter found Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford's first Star Wars audition together. Very first. It's funny. My screen test, Mark Hamill retweeted it with this. He said, "My screen test for Star Wars with Harrison on the first day I ever met him. Neither one of us had read the script at this point. Only this one scene. I asked George what kind of movie it was." Mm-hmm. And George said, quote, "Let's just do it. We'll talk about that later."
This is madness.
Yeah. We never did talk about it later. We just did it, is what he said. So let's listen to the... can you quit tapping, please, BB Nate?
I'm not tapping.
Somebody's tapping. We're having an earthquake? Mm-hmm. What? All right. Here, let's listen to it.
Checks out again. There's no mistake.
You can't find Organa Major?
I found it. It just isn't there.
Organa Major's been destroyed?
What's left of it's completely contaminated. That's it there. Look at those radiation readouts. I've never seen anything like it. It's impossible. What's going on?
The Empire must have gotten here first.
The planet's totally blown away. It would have taken 1,000 ships with more firepower than I've ever seen to do that. If the Empire had a new weapon that could do this, I'd know about it. I'd have heard something.
Well, now you know. The enemy's on the move. We haven't much time.
Well, I brought you here. Now what?
We have to find the rebels. What
we're carrying belongs to them. Their bases are very well hidden, son. All the power of the Empire can't find them. You know where they are?
No, not anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to take you on an impossible chase across the galaxy. I was paid to bring you here. Now you're here. Give me my other 5,000 and I'll be on my way. You're on your own. I'm on my own. I'll let you off on the nearest system.
You can't. Look, we've come this far. We must find them.
Why?
Well, for one reason, you don't have your other 5,000.
Well, who's going to pay me?
I think there's some things we should talk about.
I'm beginning not to like you.
What do you guys think?
It's interesting.
What was the name of the planet? They didn't call it Alderaan.
Prime.
Aqualay Prime or something like that.
Yeah.
Is what I think they called it on that.
It's weird.
Obviously, the scene that they're dealing with here is...
is Alderaan having been just blown up.
Yeah.
Just arriving in the system.
The dialogue is so much different.
It is. It's a much longer scene.
Yeah. And Luke's character is a lot more...
Low key,
which I don't like it. Like in A New Hope, he's a lot more fiery and
Obi-Wan's not in.
There's no Obi-Wan. There's no Chewie, obviously. But this is just a screen test. They're just testing
the
dialogue.
But they changed his character, Luke's character, a bit.
What about Harrison Ford and Han Solo? What do you think about
exactly
that?
Exactly the same.
Classic.
Yeah.
As what you'd expect.
He had the character down immediately.
Oh, yeah. No, he is the character. That's why he was perfect for it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was, like we were saying a minute ago, I was watching Empire of Dreams the other day, and they were having, like, Kurt Russell was reading. You know who Kurt Russell is, do you guys
Sounds
remember?
Very familiar.
He plays... Star-Lord's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I know you're talking
What's
about
his name?
Ego.
Ego?
Ego.
Ego? Is that what they call him?
That's the dad.
He's playing.
I'm not a Marvel guy. I mean, I watch it, but that's about it. Anyway.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so he was actually auditioning to play Han Solo.
Really?
In that, yeah.
He could have pulled it off.
Well, no, I'm watching it. I'm like, no.
Well,
it's gotta
be
Harrison.
You're biased,
yeah,
you know?
Well, I am biased because Han Solo is my guy.
Well, I mean, you've seen Han Solo. You've grown to know this one version of Han Solo. So, you can't really picture anyone else in that position.
I can't picture anyone else in any of those characters.
It's like we the other day we watched this screen tests for different characters in The Office, and I'm like, no, none of these work. Yeah, none of these work. There's a lot of people I recognize. Like, I think Seth Rogen was one of them. There's a few others, but I'm like, none of these work. And then the actual actors come up, and I'm like, of course, this is perfect. Why didn't, like, there's no doubt about it, but obviously I would think that.
Alright, well, I'm glad that Harrison and Mark got the part.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Nearly an hour into The Force Awakens, Supreme Leader Snoke tells Kylo Ren that there's been an awakening and then asks if he's felt it. Now, during the first viewing, it could easily be assumed that Snoke is talking about something happening with Finn. Of course, later in the movie, it's revealed that Rey is Force-sensitive, and the story goes on from there. But a very detailed fan theory suggests that Finn is also strong in the Force, and a recent quote from John Boyega suggests that we could see something more about this in The Rise of Skywalker.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All All right, so we all know the scene that we're talking about here, right?
Right.
This is about an hour. It's like 50 minutes into The Force Awakens, and you finally are... I think we're finally meeting Snoke. It's the first time we actually see Snoke in this. And we have the famous, you know... Hold on, let me find it here.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Yeah, I mean, he goes in, and then Kylo Ren, of course, responds and says, yes. Supreme Leader Snoke goes back and says, the dark side and the light, the droid you seek is aboard the Millennium Falcon in the hands of your father, Han Solo. And so, of course, that's when everybody gasps. Did you guys, like, predict at that point that Kylo Ren was Han Solo's son? Do you remember what your reaction was?
I think I was surprised by that.
I was surprised by it.
Were but you? I never thought that Finn was the one that Snoke was talking about.
Really?
Yeah, no. But, I was completely surprised by that.
I wasn't.
I'm glad it wasn't like this huge, I am your father moment way at the end. I like that they got it out of the way at the beginning.
I had the entire storyline of this movie spoiled to me.
So I knew
in the first 90 seconds of the movie that what I had read about the plot summary was exactly right, the way that it started.
See, the problem is you kept reading the thing, which is your own fault.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, he goes on, Kylo Ren goes on, he says he means nothing to me, obviously talking about Han. Mm-hmm. Supreme Leader Snoke says, even the Knights of Ren have never faced such a test. Kylo responds, by the grace of your training, I will not be seduced. To which Snoke says, we shall see, Kylo Ren. We shall see. Fades off and disappears. All right.
Cool.
Now, you know, we're watching it now. When you hear this, you automatically go back and you think about Rey. You guys seem to have thought about Rey from the beginning. Is that because, like, some of the toy release stuff had Rey with the lightsaber, or did you just always think it was Rey?
I always thought it was Rey.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was Finn up to this point. Because we haven't seen, at this point, we haven't seen Rey use the Force in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But we see, like, all of this interaction. Go ahead.
In the first teaser trailer, I believe the first thing you hear is there's been an awakening or something, and then Finn pops up.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's probably a good reason why a lot of people thought it was Finn.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that opened the very teaser trailer that came out Thanksgiving of 2014 is him saying there's been an awakening and them showing Finn.
So I thought Finn was the guy. Then later on, I think once I started seeing more merchandise, I realized it was Rey.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because if you go all the way, like, let's walk through some of the Force Awakens stuff, because this is where this theory comes from. Okay, so there's this guy, I'm trying to remember what his name is, the Mandalorian Wolf. He's part of Star Wars Shadow Council. He's like created one of these crazy fun fan theories, and that's probably all that it is, but there is some interesting meat to it. And let's just be honest, it's been a slow news week.
Yeah.
And so we sat at Culver's today, and I'm like, I still don't know what our main topic is. And I found this and thought,
all right.
That'll take up 30 minutes. Okay. And hopefully you guys can have fun. All right. We'll do this just for fun. Spoiler alert. It's all speculation.
So spoilers to The Force Awakens if you have not
seen. Yeah, if you have not seen The Force Awakens, big time. Spoiler
alert. We already spoiled the Han Solo thing.
Yeah, we did. We just spoiled it already.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's your fault for listening.
You
want to
know how sad
podcast.
I was that whole stinking movie knowing Han Solo was going to die? Think about that. Han Solo is my dude.
This is your fault. You kept reading.
But wait, what's
all your fault?
When you read it, did you like, oh, that's going to be a good movie?
No, I thought, oh, that's cool. That's a cool fan, you know, theory or story or that kind of thing. I did not think it was accurate. And then, like I said, the opening happened exactly as it was described, and I'm like, holy cow. Anyway, so this is what was written in this article. I think I found the article on Screen Rant. Oh, no, on Inverse. I'll link to it. But they talk about this. It says, in one of the first scenes, the Resistance fighter Finn loses one of his closest friends and fellow stormtrooper Slip, a character whose relationship with Finn is expanded upon in the novels. So the guy that came up with this theory, the Mandalorian Wolf from the Star Wars Shadow Council, argues that it's in that emotionally crushing moment when Finn's Force Awakening initially occurs. Immediately after Slip's death in The Force Awakens, Finn whips around at the sound of something only he seems to hear. In the background, the fight goes on interrupted, and it's made clear that no one else hears the same thing that he does. Do you guys know what's happening there? So it's that moment when the stormtrooper dies.
Yeah, I know that.
And he reaches up.
The blood. Yeah.
The blood on the helmet, the face mask and all that. And he's standing there and he spins around.
Right.
On that. This guy's saying that he's spinning around in that moment because he heard something that we don't hear, that nobody else hears. What do you think about that idea?
I think that's a leap. I don't get that vibe at all. That's a huge leap.
I had never thought about that until I read this.
Biggest leap I think a theory has ever taken.
That's nuts.
It's just,
he does turn around.
Just died in front of him. He's scared. He's freaking having
he's in shock.
Well, for the sake of the theory.
Okay.
For the sake of the theory, think about it this way. One of your closest friends has died as you are entering combat for the very first time. And instead of focusing on this, something happens that causes you to jerk around and look behind you.
An explosion. They're in the middle of a battle.
And I would just be, my friend just died and I'm in combat. I always gotten the vibe that he's starting to turn around, noticing what is wrong
order. He's freaking out.
They're okay with killing their troops. And then these people are killing civilians. And he's turning around, spinning around like, oh, this is terrible.
My understanding was this was his first battle he's ever
been. Yeah, exactly. This is the very first battle.
He's just having, shell shock. That's what's happening right now. That's why he's looking around and freaking out.
Yeah,
for the sake of the theory, he turns around and hears something we don't hear. Okay.
Okay. Well, I've watched the clip, and I will tell you that there is, if you want to see it from that perspective, you can see it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. That something behind him happens or something happens that causes him to react, to come out of that moment where he's standing there totally fixated on Slip, the stormtrooper friend of his, and now he turns around because something has grabbed his attention. I could see where someone would conclude that at this point, watching the clip, all right? But then there's more that happens in the attack of Jakku, and I think there's a lot more weight to this part of it.
Yeah.
Because in the very same scene, Kylo Ren pauses. You remember he goes through the whole who talks first thing with Poe. He kills Lor San Tekka and all that kind of stuff. He's walking back to the ship. And he turns and he sees Finn. He gives Finn. He locks on to Finn as Finn's just standing there. The rest of the Forced Order troops have walked, have gone on to the rest of their business.
Right.
We know Finn has refused to shoot at this point, and he's still just standing there longer than anyone has ever lingered, at this point looking at a stormtrooper. Nobody ever pays attention to stormtroopers. Right. That's one of the parts of being a stormtrooper and the way that they were designed is their anonymous. They're a thousand of them in one place. You're not supposed to focus on one of them.
Right.
But in this case, Finn is being focused on by Kylo Ren. It also comes on the heels of Finn hearing this mysterious sound, according to the theory, at this point. So in a scene with a battle waging in the background, why is Kylo stopping to take note of this presumably insignificant and nameless stormtrooper? Why does he stop and focus in on him like this I'm watching the movie and I'm sitting there thinking, why didn't he just, he's already killed Lor San Tekka. He's killing all these civilians. Now you have someone that's clearly either weak or incompetent is what I would think of if I'm Kylo Ren. And instead of dealing with him, which he should be able to do, right? He's Kylo Ren.
Right.
He just stares at him. Why? Why are they bringing that attention, that connection between Kylo Ren and Finn in this scene?
Well, maybe he's, like he said, sensed a weakness. See if he could improve after a first battle. I'm sure he's sensed it multiple times.
Well, he didn't just kill civilians. He only killed Lor San Tekka.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They've been killing the civilians in the village.
Kylo himself.
Oh, yeah. But we know to this point that he's done this. I mean, even if we're retconning it with Resistance stuff and some of the other, the TV show.
So what you're saying is this guy has said all of this stuff, right?
No, this is from the Inverse article.
Okay.
But this is part of his theory.
You didn't make it. But it's kind of on tiny. This is not making any sense. In a scene with a battle waging in the background, why would Kylo stop to take the note of a presumably insignificant and nameless stormtrooper? He didn't take note of him during a battle. He was walking back to the ship and
the battle was over.
And he was
the
last one on the field. He was the only one left on the field. Civilians were all cleared out. He was the only person left.
No, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think
I know, but why would he say that there's a battle waging in the background? And
because there was. They were still continuing to take out the rest of the villagers at this point in the storyline.
I don't remember that.
At this point.
I don't remember that.
Okay, so okay. he's saying that the reason that Kylo stops and reacts like this to Finn is because Kylo sensed the awakening of the Force that had happened in Finn.
Okay.
Again, the person that came up with this theory, the Mandalorian wolf character, he says that that moment we see Finn jerk around after Slip dies
right.
is the moment that the Force awakens in him. Something happens in it.
Right.
It triggers in him. So he's saying that the reason Kylo's fixated on him is because he sensed that moment. And then it explains why he has this visible disdain for this former stormtrooper. But it goes further in the next couple minutes in the movie, the next time we kind of return to... Well, that's actually much... I guess it's a while later in the movie because we know Finn helps Poe escape after Poe's been interrogated by Kylo Ren.
Right.
And they find out the BB-8 has the map and all that. And so Hux then comes to Kylo Ren and tries to tell... And is telling Kylo Ren that the rebel pilot, the resistance pilot, escaped with the help... of a stormtrooper.
And Kylo's like FN-287.
Right. So Hux says, we're checking the registers now to see which stormtrooper it is. And immediately, Kylo Ren says, the one from the village, FN-2187. So again, it comes back to this point. Kylo Ren is fixated on Finn at this point. Why? Why is he fixated on him?
Well, I mean, if you're going with the theory, there's a Force connection. But I always thought... He noticed that Finn was scared, right? Through the Force, he could tell that something was up with Finn. Well, you don't even need to know the Force for that. You could tell this guy's obviously pretty shaken up by the battle. He's just standing off alone at this point in the village. He's just standing off alone doing his own thing. So you can obviously tell that something's off with this guy,
yes.
Right? But I think he could tell that something was wrong with Finn. And then when he escaped, he figured, oh, okay, that's what it is. He knows that he wasn't...
And why would any other stormtrooper other than that one, right after the battle,
right,
do that?
Get the pilot from that battle.
Specific
yeah.
battle.
So, I mean, I guess in this theory, you can see the Finn, like Finn being a Force user. I mean, you can sort of see it if you're looking for it. But I'd never seen anything like that in my mind. But that's just me, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'll be convinced here.
I totally agree with him. I've been thinking about this, and for me, I just don't like the theory itself. I think I just am not a fan of it. I feel like it's far-fetched, and I feel like it's not based on much.
Okay, well, let's go forward.
Let's see what else.
Let's go forward. Let's sort of later on, about halfway through the movie, shortly after the scene where Snoke and Kylo Ren have the discussion about the Force Awakening and all of that. They're at Maz's castle. And, of course, Rey has that infamous Force back vision where she goes back and sees all these things that have happened with Luke and Kylo Ren and all that kind of stuff. And then she refuses Luke's lightsaber.
Well, right.
Okay. Why does Maz give it to Finn, who's not Luke's friend, instead of Han Solo, who is standing right behind Finn when she gives that to Finn? Why does she give the lightsaber to him and not Han Solo, Luke's friend?
While they're still in the temple, she doesn't give it to anybody specifically.
No, I know. We're talking about it during the battle.
Or during the battle, Han has a weapon, Chewbacca has a weapon, and Finn complains that he doesn't. She gets it to...
He says, I don't have a weapon. He's like, now you do.
And gives it to him.
Yeah, that.
That's
why a lightsaber, though. Why did she give it to
him? Because that's what she had at the time. That's all she had. She didn't have a blaster laying around.
All right. So I guess.
I understand. I understand where he's coming from with that, and I know that it's a big coincidence that that happened, and it fits with the theory with that part. I just feel like that it's just the reason what she said. I feel like Finn. That's why.
Would you guys be disappointed or upset if we found out that Finn, has force sensitivity, that's what's been pulling him away from being a stormtrooper, this sense of right and wrong that he has. And he's fighting against it potentially in The Last Jedi, trying to, you know, he wants to save Rey, but that's about all he's concerned with, getting away on his own. He's battling against it. Now that we get to the end of that arc in The Last Jedi, where he's willing to sacrifice himself to save the Resistance, to save everybody, now we can see this Force ability take full shape in The Rise of Skywalker. Would you guys be upset with that, or do you think that would just sort of it would confuse everything?
I feel like it just wouldn't fit. I feel like Finn has always been, I feel like we're seeing him throughout this series become a more mature soldier. Not just more well-trained in the Force guy. I feel like at the beginning we see, the first movie, he's very reckless in everything that he does. But in The Last Jedi, he's starting to make his way up to being a great soldier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in The Rise of Skywalker, we're going to get that leader or general. And Poe's going to take the place of Leia, and he's going to take the place of Poe.
Interesting. What do you think, Sam? Oh, hold on. Sam's going to sneeze. All right. On that note, everybody,
bless you.
Oh, see, if you say bless you before somebody sneezes, you steal their sneeze. It's our theory that if you say bless you while someone's preparing to sneeze, you steal their sneeze from them.
That sucks. I hate that.
All right, go ahead.
I don't like it. I don't know if this term applies, and I'm not sure if I even know what the term means, but it's like a Mary Sue or something. What's that called? Isn't that where a character suddenly becomes...
Which is the accusation that the fanboys have had against
Rey
this entire time.
Right, but that doesn't fit at all.
Like all of a sudden he's got all... This character has all these powers out of nowhere with no training.
I feel like that would be Finn. And it just feels like they do it because they can. I don't like the idea. I just...
I wouldn't hate the movie if they did it because it's a great... It's a Star Wars movie, and I'm never going to hate any Star Wars movie. Because it's Star Wars.
Because we're shills.
Yes, and without paychecks. But I wouldn't particularly enjoy it.
Okay. I'm not a fan of the idea. I haven't been from the beginning.
So kind of a few years ago, I'm not sure if this was during the Force Awakens press stuff or The Last Jedi, but it wasn't related. This quote wasn't related to anything with The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Someone asked John Boyega if John thought that Finn could be a Jedi or could have Force sensitivity or whatever. And his quote was, "Would I like to be a Jedi? I think it would be interesting if they had more than one person be a Jedi. But I think that is one of the unspoken laws of Star Wars. The only one, they only have one who is to go away and train at this point." So it's sort of like he's saying, yeah, I'd love that, but I don't know if I am, or I don't know if they would do that. What do you think about that quote?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it would be interesting to have two Jedis. I mean, not that we haven't seen that. I mean, obviously, prequels.
Prequels, yeah.
I mean, you know, more than just two. But in this post Empire, post Empire era, we haven't seen. No, we.
Yoda.
And
yeah, but it's like, but it's always just sort of a master apprentice.
So two novice Jedi working and learning together would be an interesting take.
And nothing in the trailer for The Rise of Skywalker seems to suggest this at this point.
No, but that would be like a huge reveal.
Finn's just Finn, and Rey's the Jedi.
I feel like the two Jedi is Rey and Kyle and Ben, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Interesting.
But, no, I don't think it's Finn.
Well, let's just fast forward from the first quote that I just read to April of this last just a couple months ago at Star Wars Celebration. John Boyega was being interviewed immediately after the panel, the Rise of Skywalker panel, episode 9 panel. At what's that?
The media room.
At the not that media room. The super secret media room. Yeah,
I'm trying to find that place.
I'm going to find it next time. Anyway, not going to be able to get in, but I'm going to try to find it. Anyway, here's what the what he said there.
Are we going to explore the story of Finn in this film? Maybe there are some revelation about the past of Finn?
I definitely think that this is going to be a film where each character, you're definitely going to learn something new about all of them. Can't tell you specifics, obviously, because... But I was excited when I read the script. I actually read it, and I stopped. And then I went and had a conversation with JJ. I was like, thank you, man. Like, I've been waiting for this. So I can't wait for you guys to see that.
What do you think? He's reading the script, obviously on super secret lockdown. When they're given the scripts, and we know the level of security there. It's not like he was like had it, you know, sent 2-day priority mail to him,
right?
And was reading it on his own. He was in the room. JJ was there.
Yeah, it's
he's reading the script, and it says, and he says that he stopped what he was doing, and thanked JJ. I've been looking for this. I've been waiting for this to happen with it. Some people would suggest that he's been wanting to be a Jedi this whole time, and that's what he's saying. Do you think that's where he's going from?
I can definitely see where people would say that. It makes total sense. But I think it's Finn finally coming into his own and being the soldier, the hero that he was always meant to be. I feel like that's what it is in my mind, but I don't know.
I agree. Yes, of course. Who would not want to play in Star Wars and be a Jedi?
Right.
Like, that's something that everybody that plays in Star Wars wants to be. But I think that it is... Maybe he takes the mantle of Leia. Maybe he...
Do you think Poe dies? That would suck.
That would suck.
Wow, that got ugly.
Yeah. But I think that... what Finn has been waiting for is much bigger than we think it is. I don't think it's like, oh, he's a Jedi. I think it's something that actually has more to do with the story than just like
character. He has a name of it, not suddenly Jedi. He's a Jedi.
Wow, he holds a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know what I think about what Finn's going to do. I think Finn's leading a stormtrooper rebellion. Mm-hmm. I think that the Sith troopers,
or maybe he kills Hux, and that's what he's been waiting
who
for.
Who knows? I think that that Finn leads a stormtrooper rebellion against a big, massive battle that includes all these Sith troopers, and that's why Sith troopers are red, so that we can differentiate between both sides when this massive battle takes place. And I think Finn's a big part of that, especially when you add in the element of that deleted stuff that was in The Last Jedi, that those scenes where there's almost a rebellion against Phasma and stuff like that, because they find out that she's the one that turned the shield off at Starkiller Base, right? And they start to revolt against her. I think that this is a big part.
And I kind of feel like there's a connection between Finn and some of the stormtroopers, as we see in the deleted scene of Last Jedi as well.
In the elevator.
The elevator, and they're starting to joke around, and you're nervous, but then they, actually...
And he's like, congratulations, man! And smacks him on the butt, as an attaboy or whatever.
Yeah. And you know that the rest of the stormtrooper corps, at this point of the Rise of Skywalker, is familiar with that one stormtrooper that has turned traitor.
Right.
FN-2187 has deserted. He killed Phasma. The legend of Finn is probably pretty large within the stormtrooper ranks. Mm. It sets itself up if things get too out of hand. Kylo Ren becomes way too evil with the Knights of Ren, and Hux enlists. I would love to see Hux enlist the Resistance with the First Order to take on the Knights of Ren and the Sith troopers. But that's just my theory. So, well, is there anything else you guys want to talk about today?
Anything else?
So the Force Awakens concept art shows the Death Star ascending from the Jakku Desert.
Yeah.
I saw this.
It was really cool.
It was a cool concept art.
Very well drawn. A concept art for a concept art. Normally, like a sketch, it was fully detailed. It was really close.
Well, it's like some of the Ralph McQuarrie stuff that was done originally, Ralph
McQuarrie-esque. Yeah.
But the question I have is, what's the Death Star doing at Jakku?
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from when they were making the concept art?
And honestly, with the sand falling on at the bottom of it, it looks a lot like the Colossus.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I don't know. Maybe Jakku is in the same system as Endor.
I don't think it is, though, because we can find that out pretty easy.
Anyway, but it was just a cool image.
Okay.
Who's next?
You can now pre-order arcade 1-Ups Star Wars arcade machine for... It's an owie. $500.
I got a bad feeling about this.
$499.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Is this the game that we played?
Yes. But all three movies, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the
Jedi. But it's the game that we played in San Francisco.
Yeah, sure. It controls everything.
It looked like it.
Yeah, but you have to build it. It's like IKEA.
No, you don't have to build it. It comes in. It kind of like it's like folded, and then you can like unfold it, and because you can't.
So there's
build
some assembly, but nothing.
Crazy. Not much. No, but the $500 comes with this stacker.
So it's a full size game.
Yeah, so it's a little bit taller. So that like it's like a real arcade machine. Normally, it's a little bit shorter than usual.
That's cool. We don't got $500 for that, though.
I need
GoFundMe.
And if you'd like to join our Patreon.
No. Okay.
I need more than just Patreon.
Right. George Lucas gave some advice to Jon Favreau on making a Star Wars series.
Oh.
And he said, the one thing, this is a quote from Jon Favreau. He says, the one thing he said to me was, remember, Jon, the real audience for all stories and all myths is the kids that are coming of age. I think that's a pretty awesome piece of advice.
He's got a point.
He does. That's why you're not going to see Rey as the illegitimate offspring
of
Shmi and Qui-Gon hooking up that one night in Tatooine, like some of the theories that are out there that I've read or have seen.
That crazy ain't happening.
Crazy talk. All right.
Or Rey is Shmi.
Rey, that's the new one. Did you see that this week?
Yeah, you told me about it. I haven't seen anything.
That's yet. Yeah, that wasn't even worth spending time talking about. Nope. Sure. All right. This week's podcast poll of the week. Is Finn Force sensitive? Again, if we read your reply on the air, you're going to receive a Make Turbis Cannon sticker. We're going to make Turbis it real Tannen. Easy. Make Turbis Tannen. Yes, no, uncertain, or other comment below. Your votes, I think I know what they are. Samuel the Hutt?
No.
No? BB Nate?
No.
No, I don't think he is either.
Definitely no.
Okay. Let the people vote.
No.
All right. He's getting the...
He's
got a little heated up in here.
It's past his nap time. So, all right. I want to thank all of our producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. And, of course, our senior producers, Kate Disney, Lugers, Judith, Jesse, Hi Grammy, and, you want me to say it the right way, Roberto Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to become a producer of the show, just go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. Watch our welcome video, which we probably need to redo because
Nathan talks like this on the watch whole
it. Remember in California?
Yeah, we were that? Like, this is like February of 2018. So he hadn't gone through his voice change. We need to redo that. But check us out. We're all over social media. Twitter, still about 5,000, thank God. We creeped down and it came back up, so that was interesting. On Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We don't do
Snapchat.
We don't do Snapchat. Why?
Because we don't know how it works.
I don't understand how that thing works. Okay. And please, give us some reviews. We're desperate. Remember, my love language is affirmation. Our love language. Sam and I. And donuts.
So if you want to send us some donuts along with a review.
We have two choices. Reviews or donuts to make us happy.
Or donuts with reviews.
Right.
Ooh. That'd be great. Donuts. Sorry. That was a Simpsons reference. Right there.
Okay.
Yeah, go to iTunes. Give us a review, please. We love you guys. Thank you. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah.
That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.